Hello, Robbie here. I'm pleased to announce my 15th, yes, 15th novel, This Book is Cursed. It's about a cursed choose-your-own-adventure novel. It is now available for pre-order wherever you buy your books. Here is a brief description.
This book is cursed. It always ends the same way. Bookseller Annie Maddox has stumbled upon the find of a lifetime. A rare book, one of one, and worth big bucks. A choose-your-own-adventure novel, written by a reclusive author before his untimely and gruesome death. After a terrible tragedy, Annie discovers the truth. This book is cursed. Choose the wrong path, and it kills you. Annie digs into the history of the book and into its secrets, because inside that curse is a tantalizing promise, one that can undo all its bloodshed. Read the book, choose the right path, and reverse the horror. Can Annie find her way through the book, or will she be cut down by its curse?
This Book is Cursed comes out March 25th, 2024, and again is available for pre-order wherever you buy your books and at the link in the show notes. I'd love for you to check it out. On to the show. Everybody, this is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I was doing fantastic, Robbie, and this episode just kind of ruined that, like it does.
I think there's a... Matt, I'm going to use the word... I've used the word before, I'll use it again. Mid.
Yeah, okay. That's a good point. I was actually thinking about that when I was doing the notes for this episode, was that this episode... doesn't feel like it's obviously nor near as good as last week with a one fun thing Bart will never do again or whatever it is, but it's also miles above the worst of the season.
That's the word. If I could use one word to describe this episode, mid. Hello, we are brought to you by supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/thesimpsonsshow. Link in the show notes. Support the show at a level. You can leave reviews. Post listener questions there. Very easy there. You can hear a bunch of bonus content from me and Matt. Weekly episode reviews from The Simpsons, King of the Hill, Bob's Burgers, and old stuff from Rick and Morty. Plus, much, much, much more. If you subscribe at higher levels, you get old episodes that have fallen off the main feed up and lately remastered. They sound a little bit better. Please, if you haven't supported us before, please check it out. Try. We'd appreciate you. It's only a couple bucks a month, less than the cost of a cup of coffee. Isn't that what they say, man?
Yeah, that's what everyone else says.
That's what everyone else says. We say it, too, because we're the best deal in podcasting. This week's episode is The Spy Who Learned Me. Title. It was a BABF 13, originally aired May 6th, 2012, written by Mark Wilmore, directed by Bob Anderson, received a 2.6 rating with 4.8 million viewers. The couch gag. All the audience at the Springfield Stadium except Homer put pictures up to form a picture of a couch gag. And then finally Homer puts his picture up, which is just him on the couch. It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah. It's fine. Episode guest stars Bryan Cranston. Stradivarius Kane, which is a Dr. Stradivarius Kane, apparently.
Doctor of death.
I was going to say, he's a spy. What is he a doctor of?
I mean, usually people involved in spying have, field agents at least, tend to have
high level degrees. Yes, man, I know. But yes. James, when you think of James Bond or Jason Bourne, you don't go, "Oh, Dr. Bond or Dr." Usually in Bond movies, sorry, I'll say this, Matt. Usually in Bond movies, doctors are villains in Bond movies.
I mean, that's true. That's true.
That's typically in a lot of those older spy movies in particular, they paint in the intelligent person are the villains. They're the bad guy. They're trying to take over. So it's interesting. I would say it's interesting they make him a doctor, but they haven't thought this through at all, obviously. So it's just random. Eric Idle comes back as Declan Desmond, again doing a documentary very briefly in this episode.
He's the impetus for the B plot.
Which it happens, I guess. The B plot happens. That's all it is. But it's very narrow, very shallow. It's a very small puddle of water, is what I would describe the B plot as. There is like a beginning, middle, end, but I think it literally takes place in five scenes. So maybe six scenes we get with the B plot. So it's there. But when the A plot, I don't know. I started to say, like, oh, the A plot could use more time. Like, no, it doesn't need more time. It just needs to be more focused because they clearly don't want to actually talk about. They don't want to do. It feels like that's the thing. They don't want to have story. They just want gags, mostly not funny gags.
Yeah, because that's what they thought everyone wanted back then, I suppose.
Who's that? Who's these people?
People who watch Family Guy, the people
I reject this, man. I reject that idea. You bring this up all the time. Oh, it's because they thought the audience wanted it. No. I think they did this because the writers are lazy, and they don't want to write a story. They just want to write disconnected gags. They saw Family Guy. Like, oh, that's way easier. We're just going to do that. Do the manatee system where we just have random crap. So we start the episode off with the Marge and Homer watching a movie in the theaters. It's a Bond-esque movie starring I don't think we ever actually get the actors, the in-universe actor's name of this.
I don't believe we do either, no.
No, it's a Stradivarius Kane movie, much like a James Bond movie. It is clearly James Bond. They rip off the James Bond theme. They use James Bond references the entire episode.
Oh, yeah.
Stradivarius Kane is James Bond. But we never get, like, an actor's name. We just get this character's name. And that, I guess, means something in a bit. Homer and Marge watch the movie. Lenny and Carl are sitting, like, behind them in the theater. And there's other people in this theater, Matt. We see other people. It's not packed, but there are other people around. And we have the first minute or maybe even 2 minutes of this episode is just them watching the movie and Homer
making dumb comments the
Homer
entire time.
Making comments. Don't worry, Matt. I pulled a clip.
He turned that Russian guy into Swiss cheese.
Homer, people are here to see the movie, not listen to you.
Hey, Homer, great yell-outs tonight.
Lucky you, Marge. You get to hear them the loudest.
You've ruined me for other men.
That's my hobby. This is my job.
Looks like that guy's got Tourette's syndrome.
I couldn't have thought of that in 10,000 lifetimes.
Yes, lucky Marge. She gets to hear it the loudest.
Okay, this is the part, Matt, where I'm like, I'm not sure if they, are they actually, does the show, not like Lenny and Carl and Homer, does the show think that this is like funny behavior to do at a movie theater?
I don't think so. I think what they're trying to get across here is that this is what obnoxious people do and they're put on by their obnoxious friends.
Okay. It just feels like this is a Homer episode ostensibly. And I guess Homer does have, like, an arc on this episode, but it never feels like Homer actually thinks that what he's doing is wrong. It feels just very much like, no, I just need to, you know, convince Marge that I'm funny. Or something. Like, it feels very strange to me because Marge feels like they treat Marge, especially early on, like, as a nag. Like, this isn't reasonable behavior on her part. And I don't know, like, it is reasonable behavior. If I went to a movie with someone and they talk the entire time, I would be furious with them.
Yeah.
So I'm Team Marge all the way with this. So Lenny and Carl love it. Homer's still chuckling on the drive home. At the jokes he made earlier. So honestly, Matt, for the most of this episode, like after this first couple scenes, Homer isn't that terribly obnoxious. But his redemption also doesn't satisfy me either. It's a very strange place.
No, because as one of the things about this episode is that Homer understands in the beginning of this episode that he's being a bad husband. Like he thinks his jokes are funny, but like all the other stuff that his, you know, ghost in the machine has him do are, you know, things that he knows he should do anyway, because like, oh, his car is dirty. He knows he should clean out his car, but he's just not going to until, you know, the ghost of Stradivarius Kane infecting his brain makes him do it.
We're going to get to the force ghost. Stradivarius yes. Kane force ghost. So Marge is holding a grudge. She's upset. Then we cut to the B plot. The beginning of the B plot. This B plot is very strange. So the kids are losing their smartphones as they enter the school. They have to go through metal detectors or whatever. And this, and Bart ends up losing change to Nelson. Nelson's stealing all the money from kids as they come through the other side of the metal detector.
Ask me how I know the writers are old.
How do you know the writers are old, Matt?
Because Bart's lunch money is change. What? You haven't been able to buy a lunch at a school with change since like the 90s. Like when I first started going to school, lunch was $1.50 and everyone was like, wow, how do they provide you food that's that cheap?
It turns out when you make this, you know, very small menu and make a lot of it and it's not super high quality ingredients, it's not that expensive to feed a lot of people. Subsidized by, you know, you can get, you have, you say, oh, we're a school, sell, we're a public institution, sell us the ingredients at cost. You can cut, you can certainly make things a lot cheaper, whatever. Now we're talking about school lunch programs, but that tells you how interesting I found this episode, Matt. So Bart is upset because he's lost his lunch money. Okay. Back to the A plot. Homer is at work. He is sad. Calling Marge on his cell phone when Mr. Burns comes along on a golf cart.
Boy, Homer, I gotta say, Marge looked pretty easy on the eyes last night, and I know eye ease.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, trouble in paradise?
No, just my marriage.
Ooh.
Honey, it's me again. I can't work knowing that you're mad at me. I just want to hear your voice. And I'm counting the minutes till the whistle blows, then I go to Moe's, then I rush home to you.
Ugh, explain this infernal wheel to me again.
Left for left, right for right.
Enough of your double talk. Excellent. He's alive. Smithers, give this man one ibuprofen, uncoated, and send him back to his workstation.
Sir, Simpson has sustained a serious concussion. Recent research says you must give him time off to recover.
Oh, pish. When I was in Africa, I had my skull cracked open by cannibals, and I'm still kicking.
Sir, that was your partner. You betrayed him to the cannibals.
Oh, that's right. I have his memories because I ate his brain.
Mr. Burns, you have to give this man something. He could sue us for all we've got.
Fine. 8 weeks off with pay. That's a good thing.
But you said it so mean.
I get that they want to make a joke, but do you have to make Homer so stupid he doesn't understand that 8 weeks off with pay is a good thing?
I just don't feel anything.
You're just like, yep, this is happening.
I'm not disgusted by this. I'm not upset. I just don't laugh. I didn't laugh. I don't think I laughed at anything in this episode. Did you laugh at anything?
No, God, no.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't really think it was that funny. It's not upsetting, but it's just nothing. Like, I go, okay, Homer's getting paid time off. There's a part of me who goes, well, they're, giving that, making Homer not at work a part of the story, like, explains it. It's just not just Homer skipping work, because that's what they do a lot of the time, where they just have, oh, Homer doesn't go to work. It's fine. No one cares. This is at least, it makes a part of the story. Gives him a reason why he's not at work. I'll give him that. That's something.
That's fair for once.
It's something. So Homer's happy about this. Homer's like, oh, I get 8 weeks off with pay? Sure, my eyeballs are filling with blood. Who cares? But he gets home. Marge is still upset at him. Bart is upset because he lost his money to Nelson. Lisa is too busy saxophoning.
Tuning her saxophone.
She's tooting, Matt. That's all that matters. She's tooting. No one wants Homer's good news. Homer wants to share good news with someone, and he doesn't know. He feels like he's unwanted. Feels like everyone else has bad news, and it doesn't feel right for him to. He doesn't know how to broach it. Ultimately, when Marge pushes him, he keeps the news to himself. Doesn't say a word, and then that becomes kind of a revelatory moment to himself, where he goes, "Oh, I have 8 weeks off with pay." And no one knows but me. And it feels very much like, oh, what is he going to do with that time? Like, oh, this is interesting. Is this the story, Matt? Is this the story? What is Homer going to do?
Oh, Robbie, you sweet summer child. Of course it's not the story.
Remember last week when we were like, right away, the episode started basically with the story. Because it already connected everything. It was like, oh, the Bart not liking his life, feeling bored about tedium. and launching into a story about escaping it. This is like, oh, all this stuff. Homer's like, is it about Homer being obnoxious in a movie theater? Not really. Is it about Homer, like, oh, keeping a secret from his wife? No, not really that either. You're like, I read the synopsis last week. I went, oh, it's about an imaginary spy that teaches.
And gives we Homer, got none of it.
Gives Homer lessons. And you're like, okay, well, it's the first act. We've only seen Strawberry's Cane. And I'm me, naive, innocent, gullible Robbie. You know what I said, Matt? I said to myself, maybe Cane will be right there, right at the beginning of the second act.
Oh, if only.
Okay. Oh, we go to commercial, 6 minutes and 37 seconds. A short first act leading into the longest second act in history.
I don't know about history, but at least for The Simpsons, it's an extremely long second act, because usually you get a very long first act, and then the second act, second, third, and fourth are very abbreviated. No, this one has a very long act, too. But a lot happens. So Homer is about to leave for his first days of 8-week paid vacation, and he suggests, hey, Marge, I'm going to blow off work time. I'm going to call in sick. We're going to go out. We're going to have some fun. Marge immediately shuts him down, saying, oh, she has too much work to do with a whole bunch of stuff. And Homer just says, oh, okay, sure. You know, you go do your stuff, fine, whatever. At school, we're back to the B plot. The kids in Mrs. Krabappel's class have a movie day because Mrs. Krabappel stayed up too late, contemplating her past decisions. It is a Super Size Me style documentary from Declan Desmond, our, you know, documentary guy. But in this case, it is not McDonald's. It is Krusty Burger. And it's a very close approximation to Super Size Me.
If you're playing a clip bad, I can't hear it.
You can't hear it?
Nope.
Oh, let's see. Oh, yep. That's why. It's on default. And again.
Krusty Burger. Every day, thousands of people wolf down his crazy cuisine, thinking they're getting the nutrients a human being needs to live. But for 30 days, this reporter ate nothing but this joker's deck of carbs. And I say... lies with that.
Oh, great. Another documentary making me look like a scuzzbag. What is it this time? That the town I sponsor in Africa doesn't exist? Prove it! Film all of Africa!
Day 12. I've gained 20 pounds. As for my cholesterol...
it's bad. You can just scrape it right off.
But still, I soldier on with my Laffy Meal.
Hey, this is all above board.
1 month of eating Krusty Burger and nothing else has transformed me into a morbidly obese, toilet-busting American. If I don't have some kind of nugget every 5 minutes, I'll die. I'm so weak, I can't even fill out this application for documentary film Oscar. But it'll be worth it if my suffering teaches Krusty the value of proper nutrition.
You're going to be my breakfast English sausage.
There's a text over the screen saying, oh, only his foot was made into a sausage and had a smoky aftertaste. Like, ooh, this is pretty awful. But thankfully for Bart, it gives him an idea about what to do with Nelson.
Do you know when Super Size Me came out, Matt?
Oh, God, that was a long time ago. 2005, 2006?
2004.
Four. It only took them 8 years to make a parody of it.
A spoof. Yeah. Is this B-plot? Is it about Super Size Me or Krusty Burger, really?
Oh, no, Robbie. No. We already got introduced to what the B-plot is about. It's about Bart and Nelson, and Nelson taking Bart's money.
What?
Oh, don't you worry. We're going to get to see that. So, moving on, we see a montage of Homer out and about on his day off. He sees a whole bunch of beautiful things. But as it's Homer, he ends up slightly after noon, so he doesn't have a drinking problem at Moe's, where Moe is fighting to take the back room back from, I believe it's raccoons. Doesn't actually matter. So Homer is drinking at the bar by himself when something weird happens.
Wish I could pull down my zipper and that guy would come out.
Stranger things have happened, Homer.
Ah! Stradivarius Kane! What the? Am I losing my marbles?
No, I'm just an illusion caused by the concussion you suffered at the plant.
Can I put my hand through you?
If you want. Come on, really? Show a little class.
Sorry.
Now, I'm about to undertake my toughest mission ever. To make you into a man your wife can't resist.
What the? No one can see you.
Other people's imaginary friends can't see me.
Hello, Dr. Kane.
Hello, Huff and Puffalus.
Sorry I slept with your girlfriend.
You did me a favor, man.
Don't worry, that plot is actually going to end up going somewhere, but it's a bad somewhere, so...
Okay, Matt.
Anyway.
Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I'm going to crank up the fix this episode machine.
Ooh, already? Wow.
This is me cranking up. So, this... And when, like, this is what... I try and be optimistic, man. I try. Maybe that's the problem. I shouldn't be. But I look...
You should. You should just give up.
I should give up. Low expectations was what I should do. Maybe last week got him up again, Matt. That's probably what actually happened. Last week's episode went, oh, this is good. They can actually do this if they try. I saw this idea in the synopsis last week, and I went, that could be interesting. Like, we've had a Homer see fake people before. That's fine. And it's a very tried and true trope in all kinds of fiction. You have, you know, an imaginary friend or someone who might be imaginary, might be real, working as a, you know, an advice figure, a mentor of some sort. And this episode, up to this point, it could be an interesting, you know, kicking off point where you have Homer act like a jerk. He's being obnoxious in public, and Marge doesn't like him for it. And Homer doesn't necessarily see what he's doing, what's wrong with it. But he knows that Marge is upset. He doesn't like that. So you have this imaginary figure pop up, this Stradivarius Kane, and not a real guy, just a movie character. And he goes, oh, I'm going to teach you how to make your wife love you again, how you make you irresistible. And you think, well, wait a second, that's not the problem. Marge just thinks Homer's behavior is obnoxious. It has nothing to do with, like, finding me irresistible or whatever. And you could, from this point forward, make it a point where Homer is getting taught by Kane, and Kane actually isn't actually helping. You know, the spy...
I mean, you could argue that that's kind of what this episode is, because all the stuff that Kane has him do, besides cleaning out the car, is completely useless with Marge.
I won't argue that, Matt, because I feel like all of that is accidental on their part.
Oh, yes.
I
don't... That was not their intention at all, but it is what happens.
Okay. But it feels like you could make it purposeful. Kane isn't being helpful, and Homer at some point realizes that these movie characters and this movie character, which embodies maybe an ideal of Homer's view of masculinity, goes, oh, this isn't helpful at all. It's not actually what my wife wants. My wife wants this instead of that. And that could be the plot. That's it. That's all it is. It's just Homer realizing that what his mind has conjured as this, what a masculine man should be, is wrong. And what his wife actually wants is this thing. And he tries to become that instead. And that is the whole episode. But... they don't do that. They go in some random direction. It doesn't make any sense. But this is that is what I sparked in my mind immediately, Matt, when I was watching this episode. I went, oh, that would be interesting. That's not where they went.
At this point, we kind of see where the B plot is actually going to go, because we see Nelson is taking lunch money from people. There's a horrible subplot of where Nelson respects Lisa and Lisa is obviously still into Nelson kind of thing. Before Nelson gets to Bart and says, hey, I brought this for lunch. You know, why don't you take this instead of my money, and gives him a Krusty Burger meal. And Nelson says, hey, I didn't know this could be fresh. I don't know this could be hot, and begins to eat it immediately and loves it. Of course, it's fresh food. Of course, he's going to love it. But then Bart says, oh, well, go ahead and take this coupon book I have for free Krusty Burger as a down payment on the future lunches you would have stolen from me. Where is Bart getting all this money? One, two, terrible joke where Nelson starts to eat the coupons instead of, you know, trading them in for the free meals. Not a good joke. Okay. I just, they're so down on Nelson, and I think they're just raging against the bullies they had when they, the writer raging against the bullies they had when they were in a school, and it's like, no, stop that. That's horrible. Anyway.
It's, Matt, this B plot is so bare bones.
Yeah.
I can barely muster the energy to like critique it, because it's just like, oh, he's just, the plan, you're like, immediately you're like, oh, the plan is to get Nelson like incredibly obese. But it's never like the end game of this is never about fast food. It's not about Krusty Burger. It's just stuff happening. There's nothing there. Even more so than the, it's not like, oh, well, they don't have enough time. Well, there's plenty of time in this episode. This episode, we're not mentioning everything, guys. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. For every scene we mention, there's a bunch of stuff happening that is just happening. There's just things going on around with Lenny and Carl and the kids at school and Lisa and Nelson, like Matt mentioned it. Like, it's just like, why are we seeing all this stuff? Like, we get a Kent Brockman, like, story on childhood obesity.
Oh,
it doesn't mean anything, though. It's purposeless.
Indeed it is. So, at this point, we go back to the A plot, where Homer is driving around with the, you know, concussion fantasy person, Stradivarius Kane. And Stradivarius Kane is looking for the hidden weapons in his car, which there are none, obviously. So we're forced to ask ourselves, is Stradivarius Kane, does he not understand that Homer's not a spy, that normal people don't have that? It's weird. It's out of character for the rest of the episode, where Kane obviously knows who he is and what he is and why he's there, but whatever. He makes a comment on how dirty the car is and how Marge would like it a lot better if Homer actually cleaned the car. And in the end, basically forces him, saying, no, you're going to do this to please your wife. Okay, sure. We then flip back to the B plot with a Kent Brockman story on childhood obesity, where Lisa recognizes that some of the images in the story are from Nelson. Nelson has eaten a whole bunch of the Krusty Burger that Bart gave him and has become morbidly obese.
Are we going to talk about like this? I'm sure this plot is going to start talking about like hyperpalatability of food and accessibility, like food deserts, things like that.
And targeting of children for this kind of food. Yes, right? We're absolutely going to talk about that. Oh, wait, no, we're not. Oh, we're not. It's going to get so much worse from here.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, Nelson is now morbidly obese. Put that to the side for a second, of course. We got to go back. Kane, ghost brain Kane, I'm going to call him brain Kane from now on, is with Homer at a fancy bar. It appears to be night, so not sure why no one misses Homer, but whatever. And he gives Homer the assignment to seduce a woman. And he tells Homer, oh, women don't care what you say as long as you say it with confidence. Homer immediately proves this wrong by saying a whole bunch of random stupid crap that pushes women away instantaneously as soon as he's done saying it. Kane says, okay, well, let's try this. I'm going to tell you exactly what to say. And it's basically a line about, oh, when I was in, you know, a prison in Afghanistan, and there was one patch of blue sky. It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen until I saw your eyes. That kind of crap. That appears to work on a woman sitting at the bar. Unfortunately for Homer, that woman is there with her husband, who has a gun, which I guess this is a bar frequented by spies. So, sure.
We are given no context in any of this, man. Like, we are
none whatsoever. The closest context we get is the racist context that, oh, this gentleman speaks with a Hispanic accent or a Spanish type accent, so obviously he has a gun on him.
He is Bolivian.
Yes, Bolivian.
He mentions the country Bolivia in the last act. It's just, you don't know why. Like, where are we? Like, there's all these, like, you know, attractive women in like skimpy clothes. Like, is this a club? Is this in Springfield even? It's nighttime. Is Homer just out at night? And what did he do? And dressed real nicely. Does Marge know any of, like, there's just no context. We just get a scene. You're like, what? Why are we
this
here?
This is the kind of scene where someone would train to be a spy. Sure. Like, if you were training to be a new field agent, this is the kind of, in movies anyway, this is the kind of place that they would take you to practice, you know, the art of persuasion and seduction. So Homer is there.
But we don't get a scene, Matt, where like Kane was, where Brain Kane says something to, like, it says, like, we gotta train you to be a spy. We don't get a scene that happens, so we don't know. I don't know what's going on.
We get a scene where Kane says, hey, I'm going to teach you to be better to your wife. And one of the the pillars of that is seducing other women, I guess.
It doesn't make any... I'm lost. I don't know what's going on.
As we all are, Robbie. As we all are. This guy, this Bolivian gentleman, pulls his gun on Homer. Brain Kane tells Homer, oh, use the lemon. So Homer squirts the guy in the eye with lemon, which has no effect on him whatsoever. The guy doesn't shoot Homer, so at least that's good. And then Homer proceeds to use the lime, which causes the guy to break down, and Homer and Brain Kane are able to flee. So, yep. Yep. Hold on to it, Robbie. Hold on to it. We'll go back to that plot soon.
Okay.
We have to go back to the nuclear power plant where Marge wants to meet Homer for lunch. She sees Lenny and says, hey, I'm here to see Homer with lunch. And Homer says, or Lenny says, oh, well, Homer's, you know, still part of his 8 weeks of paid time off. And Marge says, excuse me, what? And of course, she's very upset to learn this. And then we get a little stinger of this scene where Carl says, asks Lenny why Marge ran off. And Lenny says, I don't know. I thought we were just making conversation. Not funny. Wasted my time. But here is where we go to a commercial.
Matt, I just want to bring... There's a mention in this scene. It's been 6 weeks.
6 weeks, yep.
They say it's been 6 weeks of Homer not having to go to a vacation, effectively, for him. And in those 6 weeks... So we have... We are there for day one. You talked about it, right? Him leaving for work, where he comes to Marge and says, hey, why don't you come with... Well, why don't we have the day off? You know, why don't we go enjoy ourselves? And Marge is like, Marge has responsibilities, so she doesn't. That's day one. And on that same day, effectively, Homer's like goes out, sees some beautiful things, goes to Moe's, and that's when we are introduced to Kane. Okay, so that's... This is me talking about the passage of time. It does matter. So... We have Kane with Homer. We have the scene at the bar. And then they're driving. There's no other interstitials. So that leads me to believe, oh, that's the same day. They're leaving the bar with Homer and Kane is in the car with him. So the next time we see them, Matt, is them in this bar where Homer is supposed to be wooing a woman mm-hmm. at nighttime. And you're like, okay, well... Is that the same night? Is it, is it a few days later? Maybe it's a few days later. And then you have this scene with this Bolivian guy, this suave guy, who's Homer's hitting on his girlfriend, or his wife, ostensibly. And then we cut to the scene with Marge at the nuclear plant, and we learn it's been 6 weeks. In those 6 weeks, where Homer has been going out and training, quote-unquote, with Kane, we have gotten a scene with Homer driving with Kane and Homer at a bar. Nothing else. There's no montage. There's no, like, this is a perfect time for a montage with Homer trying to get trained by Kane and failing over and over and over again. Like, Kane doing suave things, you know, doing super secret agent things, and Homer failing, messing up, things like that. But we don't, like, it's been six no. weeks. It's an unbelievably, Matt, you could have easily had more, that you could write this at any amount of time. It doesn't need to have been 6 weeks. It's baffling to me. Like, it's confounding. Yeah. Like, how on earth do you do this? We don't... It's just, like, blink and it's been 6 weeks. We don't even get, like, a title card 6 weeks later. Come on, man.
Nope.
We come back from Crucial Matt. 15 minutes and 59 seconds. So, now, we are just cutting... It's Lisa and an obese Nelson visiting Krusty in his mansion. Krusty's playing Wii Tennis with Mr. Peepers, whatever his name, Teeny, Mr. Teeny, Mr. Peepers. Where's Peepers? Is from SNL, isn't it?
mm-hmm.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. He's playing Wii Tennis with his monkey. Did I black out for a minute? Like, where's all the scenes? Matt, how did we get here?
Robbie, they had to do the whole thing with a movie and him, you know, yelling at the screen in order for us to see that, oh, Marge is unhappy. Like, that was completely unnecessary. But okay, sure.
It's just where we saw Lisa was unhappy about obese Nelson. She saw him on the news. Okay, I got that part. But now they're together at Krusty's mansion. They got inside somehow. They just walked in, I suppose. They're upset. And so Krusty, I guess, takes the blame and hires his personal trainer to make Nelson a superhero, is what he... Like, it's the superhero diet, right? I think that's what he says. What is this? I thought this was about Bart. What's going on?
It was about Bart. It's about the bad thing that Bart did, and now it's time for Krusty to have to fix it because his food is bad. Like, that makes no sense.
I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Homer comes home to Marge upset. This is maybe the only good scene in this episode, man. This one scene is maybe the only one I actually enjoyed. Because Homer comes home to Marge. Marge is upset because, theoretically, this is right after she went to the power plant. Okay? This is me piecing this timeline together myself, because the episode doesn't do it. Ostensibly, this is Marge coming home from the power plant. Homer is coming home from quote-unquote work, and she's upset. And so Homer, faced with this, admits the truth.
No way!
Busy day at work? Did you get a lot of work done, worker man?
What do I do? What do I do?
Take her by those shoulders she never covers and tell her the truth.
You're right, Marge. I lied.
Don't give me that load of...
I got a head injury at work, and they gave me 8 weeks paid vacation.
Head injury? Why didn't you tell me?
And I spent all that time learning how to be a better husband. The kind of husband you deserve.
Kiss her. Kiss her while I watch.
The three of us are going to the most romantic restaurant in town.
This car's so clean. I'm not getting flea bites on my ankles.
I have bug bombed the car for my lady.
Go! We meet again. Looking for this?
I think I just like it, Matt, because Homer tells her the truth. I think I like that. I think I just like this
that
idea.
That is a good part of this, yes.
I think I just Homer being honest.
It's rare enough that it's a special occasion. So, yes, Homer tells her the truth, and we're okay with that. We're like, oh, and Homer explains kind of why, but not really. He mostly just distracts her.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the problem with it, is that this, again, feels like it is just saying what the writers want us to believe happened in this episode, but isn't what we're shown. Like, it tells us a version of this episode that I didn't watch. Because again, we didn't see weeks of time. We didn't see Homer learning to become a better husband. We saw a single scene where they go back. This is another question, Matt, and I really don't know the answer to this. The scene where Homer tried to seduce women we just watched in the second act. Did they go back to the same place for this dinner?
I mean, it doesn't look exactly. It looks kind of the same, but not exactly the same. So. Maybe.
Okay. That's what I came to. I'm like, is this like the suave guy is there again, Mr. Bolivia? And you're like, okay. We end with this cliffhanger where in a very short third act where Homer is being threatened with a gun again. We go to our final commercial, 18 minutes and 11 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. We come back. This is over all very quickly. Homer tries to do the lemon or the lime thing again. So he essentially uses the same trick. Start of it is Kane. There's a whole bit where Homer hits him, runs away, and hits himself in the head until Brain Kane shows up and tells him, "Just do what I told you to do before." And he uses the exact same line he used on the wife on the husband, and now the husband doesn't want to shoot him anymore.
Well, the guy gets taken on immediately by his... Like, that immediately... We have this cliffhanger. This upset me, Matt. I'm going to say this. This upset me. Because we end with this cliffhanger. The guy has Homer at gunpoint. Oh, we're going to have something happen interesting. Like, where you go, oh, well, Homer is going to try and disarm the situation, and it's going to fail. And Homer's going to have to realize, though, he can't always rely on the teachings of a movie character. But that's not what happens. Immediately, the guy's wife hits him in the back of the head, gives them a moment, and then Homer starts this scene where he's like hitting himself to get different characters, and we end up with like the football robot from Fox.
Oh, I forgot about the football robot. Yeah,
and there's 20 seconds of this football robot dancing to the NFL music because it's on Fox. They have the rights to it, and Homer hates the like. What is this? What am I watching? Then we get to him talking to the guy who is now chasing them down at the same. But they're out, like, I thought this is at a restaurant. They're out, like, in woods.
Seems like an outdoor bar that is next to some kind of woods, as best I can tell. Okay. Like, it seems like the bar is outside.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Did you write this episode?
No, I'm just doing the best I can with the very minimal context clues.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So we then get Homer and Marge walking off into the sunset, happy as can be. Why? I don't know. I guess Homer is actually suave now. But this is also that Brain Kane can turn to the camera and talk and say, Stradivarius Kane will be back in the episode. Lisa gets a B+, and then he shoots the camera like James Bond does.
That's
not the end.
That's not the end. Well, one,
no,
he shoots the camera. The camera is actually the not Snuffleupagus.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Hufflepuffulus or whatever it is. And the Hufflepuffulus says, "Oh, I knew you were mad at me about me sleeping with your girlfriend."
But that's also not the ending.
Well, that's the actual end of the episode, no, because we have to go back to the B plot where Martin and all the nerds are super happy about Nelson being gone because of his morbid obesity. But no, now Nelson comes back and he's super ripped, which, one, those of you who don't know this, exercise does not make you ripped. You have to eat a lot less than you actually use in exercise, which is a lot. It's not easy to eat less than that. You have to dehydrate the hell out of yourself to get that ripped look.
To be super fit, like, you can have muscles and stuff, right? You can be bulky, but to be super fit, it's generally not better to be super ripped, because when you're super ripped means you're not eating a lot of calories and you're definitely not drinking enough water to get, like, bodybuilders destroy themselves to look the way they do. So it's whatever. It doesn't matter, right? Like, they don't care. Like, this is just Muscle Nelson's here and he starts beating up nerds. Like, why? Where's Bart in all of this? This was about Bart and his lunch money. What is going on? Why are we watching this? Oh, there's no answer. Don't answer. I know there's no actual answer. I know what the answer is. Whatever. They went, oh, we need to fill time. We need to finish this thing. We need to get 20 minutes of television. That's all this episode feels like from beginning to end. There's just nothing. It's just stuff, right? It's just, here's stuff. Open your mouth, pig. Fill it up. Here, take some, just open. Here's a trough. Here's some gray slop. We're going to throw it at you. It's like a bunch of mid-slop. You fill it up. I don't know, man. I went out. I was writing today, and I literally went. I told my friend who I was writing with, I'm like, I just want to write today. I don't want to have to talk about this very mid-episode of The Simpsons. Because this is a very mid-episode of The Simpsons. That's all it is. It's not Bart getting groomed by a teenage girl. It's not that. But it's also not even approaching good. Like, it's... Matt, like, how... I know that the gap, when we rank this episode, it'll probably be in the 300 somewhere, is my guess. The gap between this and episode from last week will be a couple hundred spots. And it doesn't feel like a lot. It's a couple hundred spots in a list that's approaching 500. It's not that much, really.
No.
But the gap between last week's episode and this episode, they can't even see each other. Like, it's beyond the horizon if you stood at one and tried to find the other. You can't see it. The curvature of the Earth blocks these episodes from each other's view because they're so far apart in quality. So when I say that last week's episode was good and this one's mid, I can't emphasize that does not really give justice to how far apart in quality these episodes are. I will never.
Last week's episode is good. When we say mid for season 23, mid for, you know, this is below. It's still going to go well below any of the golden years.
No, I mean, it's a very strange distribution we've had over the years of The Simpsons. But this episode's. I would never watch it again. You should not watch it. If you've gotten this far and you have thought, maybe I should watch this episode, do not. It is not worth your time. We will rank it at the end of the show.
Robbie, is this episode broken or just needs massaging? Which is
I'm glad you asked, Matt.
No, you were right the first time with that quick fix idea. Let's see. Quick fix.
It's broken. Yeah. I don't you're not. Yeah. You don't. There's no argument here. Like, it's not about, like, again, it's just so, there's interesting ideas proposed, like, the core. You're like, oh, that could be interesting. I love episodes. I love fiction about this, with this kind of construction, the shape of, like, oh, you have a flawed character go on a journey supposedly to learn something, and in the process of learning realizes the thing he's trying to learn is empty, and the thing he actually needs to learn is basically the polar opposite. Like, I like that story shape. You could sell that to me 100 times in a row, Matt. I probably would buy it, as long as it's well done. And this is, it takes that to the idea of Ray at the very beginning and then quickly abandons it. But I think that's what you do, right? You have Stradivarius, and you have Bryan Cranston, who does his darndest. He tries real hard in
this. Oh, yeah, he does a great job as Stradivarius King. He's just not given much to work with.
No, and, like, it's hard. Like, you look at everything Bryan Cranston has done in his career, from his, like, the early comedy stuff to, obviously, Breaking Bad to, like, his more, like, his serious film roles he's taken on after Breaking Bad. Whatever he's doing, he does, he goes hard. He doesn't believe in going half speed, even the things that aren't, you know, prestige. He still goes real hard on them. He tries. He does whatever he can to elevate the material. He just can't do much with this because there's no shape to this. There's nothing there. I'll say it again. So you just make Kane, you indulge, like, he's the right, I think the character is largely about on topic. It's the fact that they never make him a joke. You need situations where Homer tries to solve something and does exactly what Kane says, and it fails. We need that, and you need to do it multiple times. You don't, and you can cut to the chase on this a lot faster. There's so much wasted time in this. There's, like, you cut the B plot. Like, if you're not going to do an episode about fast food, you're not going to do an episode about Krusty Burger and actually engage with some of the ideas around it, then don't bother, because they clearly don't even care about, like, trying to make, like, Bart disappears from this episode, Matt. He vanishes. He's just gone. Like,
yeah, that's true. He's after he shows up with Nelson, or actually, is it Lisa that shows up?
Lisa shows up with Nelson. After they watch the news program, Bart is gone from this episode. It's about this. The B plot is about, I guess it's about Nelson being obese, because that's what ultimately it, and, like, and him gaining muscle so he could be a bully again. Like, it's none. There's no story. It's just things happening. And like, you don't need that unless you can make a whole episode about that, about childhood obesity and hyperpalatability and food deserts and food lunch and school lunches. You could do it, easily make episodes about that. They don't care. You make the A plot about Homer and this imaginary idea of a super cool guy, and the fact that, oh, the super cool guy, like, we did a Bond movie for the Patreon, that, and there's parts you go, well, it's still really watchable. It's still a lot of fun. I think we watched Goldfinger, right? It was Goldfinger we watched.
It was Goldfinger, yeah.
Yeah, and Goldfinger's still really good. But you quickly, like, there's lots of stuff in it where you're like, okay, that doesn't fly. That's obviously, like, this the weird version of masculinity they portray in those 60s spy movies is very different from today. And you could play with that. And they have. You watch current spy movies, there's plenty of spy spoofs. Obviously, Austin Powers. But even Austin Powers, Austin Powers feels like archaic at this point, even. And it was spoofing all the over-the-top nonsense that the 60s spy movies were already doing. And nowadays, you can even spoof that even further. But they don't care. They're just like, oh, no, we're just going to do this at face value. There's no air of satire in this.
The fun way to do it is to have him have Stradivarius Kane give Brain Kane, give Homer all the advice that you'd expect from, you know, a 60s spy person, and it just does not work out, and he doesn't understand why, and then Homer wins Marge back by being himself and being sweet and being a good father, because that's what Marge cares about. That's what this episode could have been, but no.
And here, Matt, here, I have the ending. I have the ending of this episode, okay? It's perfect. It just popped in my mind. It's perfect. So you have all what you just said happens. Exactly. It happens. To cap off the episode, Homer and Marge go see a movie. Just as the episode starts with them seeing a movie and Homer being obnoxious. And Homer being obnoxious to a movie that ostensibly Marge doesn't really want to even see, a spy movie. you end the movie with them going back to the theater and them standing, they're standing and just trying to decide what movie to watch. And you have the sequel to the movie they watched at the very beginning of the episode. It's another spy movie, another Stradivarius Kane movie. And then you have a different movie, a movie that Marge wants to see. It doesn't really matter what the movie is. It could be a rom-com or a drama, whatever. And Marge is like, no, I'd rather see that. And Homer goes, okay. And they go see Marge's movie, and you see a moment where Homer thinks maybe an obnoxious comment. He doesn't say it aloud, and instead he just squeezes Marge's hand and looks at her and observes how happy she is that he's seeing a movie with her, and he's not being obnoxious. He's respecting it. That's the ending. That's it. It's sweet, and there's no Kane.
Sweet and happy, and there's no we can completely skip the B plot, save all that stuff for the A plot because you'll need it. No Krusty Burger, nobody dying of being morbidly obese or having their foot turned into breakfast sausage.
I can't. The breakfast sausage thing nearly killed me, Matt. I can't take that. Like, it's just so out of left field from the tone of the rest of this thing. Whatever. You can even have a moment where, like, the imaginary Stradivarius Kane pops up just for a second in the movie theater and Homer, like, puts a popcorn bucket through him or something. Like, he disperses the cloud of whatever it was. It's that. It's like, it's there, but instead this episode ends with a burly Nelson beating up a bunch of bullies.
Yeah.
And Kane shooting an imaginary the fake Snuffleupagus, the Hufflepuff, whatever they call it. I can't even take this, man. That's it. That's the episode. I feel like, how long did that take? 5 minutes? 5 minutes. That's a better shape.
Yeah, but what about all the jokes we didn't come up with, Robbie? That's what takes all the time.
Yes, you're right. It would take time to do that. Do they work for free? Is that the question we're asking?
I mean, they probably want to do as little as possible.
Oh, they got paid, though, right? They got paid to be the writers of the I've covered this before, but if I was a writer for The Simpsons, it literally is a dream job, right? So and you're getting paid. Probably decent pay. You're a paid writer in the writer's room of a major television show. You're probably getting a respectable pay, something enough to live off of, correct?
Probably.
So you're not doing it for free, right? You're getting paid a job you agreed to do for the pay you got, I assume, right? And obviously you get to put I wrote for The Simpsons in your resume, your CV. Like, isn't that great?
That's pretty big.
That's pretty cool. Like, oh wow, you wrote for The Simpsons. That's pretty good. Oh, you wrote those episodes.
Yeah. Oh, you wrote the later Simpsons though.
Maybe write better episodes is what I don't know. That'd be what I would say. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for comments in the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments in the news group is where I ask our patrons to leave a review for an episode. Join us at any level on our Patreon, and you can do that. From Tim. While this was a definite come down from a totally fun thing, it didn't sink to the depths of Beware My Cheating Bart. Yes, it was more than a little silly at times, particularly with Homer imagining the Bryan Cranston Bond character giving him advice and the supersized parody. The original came out in 2004. Great timing, guys. On the other hand, there wasn't much in the way of dead air. The opener was very fast. I didn't find myself constantly checking the timestamp, asking when it was going to stop. I'll put The Spy Who Learned Me at number 385, not canon, and fixed by simply picking one, not both of these stories. Actually, the idea of Homer being befriended by an imaginary Bondish character might not be the worst ever. From JJ, at least Beware My Cheating Bart elicited a reaction from me, but The Spy Who Learned Me left no impression at all. What exactly is Homer's arc meant to be? Stradivarius Kane is not an interesting or memorable one-off character, and his dialogue with Homer lacks any wit or comedic potential. Only Zombie Simpsons can make such a weird plot this yawn-inducing. The B-plot could have actually been about something topical if it had more time, but as it is, it's rushed, underdeveloped, and Bart, Nelson, and Lisa all come off as unlikable somehow. This wasn't as terrible as most of this season, just very boring and unfunny. Put that on the box, Matt. Just very boring and unfunny.
Indeed.
From Dara, I liked it. I don't think I would rank it on must-see episodes, but I got some laughs in the first 15 minutes. The last seven, though, yeesh. Do we need to mock my childhood crush, Alicia Silverstone?
That's right. I put that in the notes and then I forgot about it.
We're going to break about... There is a moment here where they compare obese Nelson to Batman and Robin Alicia Silverstone. And That just makes me mad, Matt. Like, that's the thing where it's just like, Alicia Silverstone. It's a cheap
joke that's not even close to true.
No, it's not. Alicia Silverstone was in very good shape in that. I've seen Batman and Robin. It's a very bad movie, but Alicia Silverstone is fine, and she's certainly not nearly. I don't understand. Like, it just feels very cheap and like ugly joke at Alicia Silverstone. Why? Like, why are we joking about her being overweight in an episode, in about a movie? She's not. She's a superhero. Like, and there's not. Like, there's a lot of things you would joke about Batman and Robin. Like, there's so many. But her being overweight in it is not, it's not accurate. It's confounding. Like, again, this joke feels like it's written by, like, a 55-year-old hateful man. You're like, what's wrong with you? Why would you write that? What's wrong? Like, and Matt, this episode came out in 2012. We're referencing Batman and Robin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm okay. I got the hate in my heart. I let it out. Okay, continuing on with Dara's thoughts. For a season loving montages, why not show Nelson getting fit? At least they concluded all the stories. I honestly thought they'd forget about Nelson once the main plot wrapped up. Overall, it made me laugh a few times, and that's good enough to be the 6th best episode of season 23. Finally, from
Dan. Man, that's sad, but probably accurate.
It's lower than that for us, Matt. I'm guaranteed it's not 6 best. From Derek, a really boring outing this week. The rehashing was egregious here and really makes it hard to argue for the show to still be on the air. Why watch this episode when I can see Homer hallucinate Colonel Klink in Last Temptation? Why watch this episode when the exact same opening occurs and is miles funnier in Colonel Homer? Bryan Cranston is wasted here. If this half-assed James Bond stuff is how they do action movie parody now, then it is a very sad, pale shadow of the McBain films. Imagine how much episode would be elevated if Homer hallucinated McBain instead. But you just have to shove that guest star in there. The B-plot with 8 years too late parody of Super Size Me is similarly milquetoast. I don't know what they were going for there. It wasn't funny, I'll tell you that. It did fill time, which is, I think, what they
it
were going for.
It did fill time, that's true.
They were that's, I think, their main goal. So that's what I would say they achieved. They were trying
Robbie,
to...
just so you're aware, the 6th best episode of season 23 is currently Holidays of Future Past, which would put it at 337. So it has to go lower than that to be less than 6th of season 23.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be lower than that, Matt.
Okay.
I will see. That's it for the news group, for the Patreon listeners. Thank you all. If you'd like to, again, if you'd like to support us and leave a review for an episode, I'll read them on the air. Join us any level. Link in the show notes. This we can move on to our next segment. It's time for Listener Question of the Week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
This week's Listener Question. What's your favorite quote from a travel episode? Lots and lots of good answers. They make me laugh. It's nice to
and
read
so many that I was just like, oh yeah, I totally forgot that was an episode.
It's nice to laugh, Matt, at the show that I love.
Fair. But reminders of better times.
Exactly. Take it away.
All right. First up from Mark, is the answer Japan? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
From Aaron, from Bart on the Road, when Nelson got to see Andy Williams, I didn't think he was going to do Moon and River, but then bam, second encore. From JJ, Marge, come on, Homer, you liked Rashomon. That's not how I remember it. That is just a good joke. I just...
It's that one line.
Two lines, and it's a way better joke.
Anything in this season, probably, I would say, Matt. Yeah, I would say that line is funnier than anything in this entire season.
In the last 10 seasons, probably. Anyway, moving on. From different Matt, if you kids can't keep your hands to yourself, I'm going to turn this car around, and there'll be no Cape Canaveral for anybody. Smack. That's it. Back to Winnipeg. Oh, I forget. Was it Nelson that hit the father in the back of the head?
Yes, it was. It was
okay.
Nelson.
Okay. All right. From Dara, an episode I forgot about, from the town, about going to Boston. Marge, you made us leave that lovely city rather than just put on a stupid hat. It wasn't even fitted. Homer, I just couldn't wear the hat. Well, I'm still mad at you. I never even got to experience one of those Boston winters everyone raves about. come on, baby. We could never escape our problems by moving somewhere else. Our problems are who we are, not where we are. Well, maybe. The traffic was pretty annoying. Not to mention the unspoken racism. It wasn't that unspoken.
That's fair.
From Derek, The travel episodes are filled with endless gems of dialogue, but something I say all the time is Harry Shearer's hilarious read of Eine Minute in Bart versus Australia. Crap German, but funny, funny line. I also say that quite frequently, Derek. Thank you. From Andy, from everyone's favorite episode, Kill the Alligator and Run, Judge. Well, it looks like you folks are free to go, but don't you ever set foot in the state of Florida again. Fine, Homer. Fine, then. There are plenty of other states that are happy to have us. Marge. Well, we're still welcome in North Dakota and Arizona. Homer. Arizona smells funny. Marge. Crosses it off the list. Lisa. North Dakota, here we come. Bart. I've always wanted to see Mount Rushmore. Marge. That's South Dakota. And a groan from Bart to head it out. Turns out the Simpsons just can't go anywhere fun. All right. From Zach. On the plus side, I knocked over the sun sphere. Everyone loves Bart on the road, and I can't disagree. All right. From Gonzo the Great 93. Growing up in Toronto, it was a big deal when the Simpsons announced they'd be coming to visit. When the visit lasted all of 3 minutes, I was so disappointed that my answer is $900, dude. From Infinite Guru 4927. Isn't this that cartoon that causes seizures? Family proceeds to seize. Or when they travel to Scotchtoberfest, technically Scotchtoberfest traveled to them, but Willie, yeah, used me, Skinner. Yeah, used me. Apologize, my Willie is not that good.
It was okay. You did all right.
From Real Insanity, Bart on the Road, Season 7, Episode 20, Knoxville/Branson, Nelson sees a sign about Andy Williams' concert. Andy Williams, Bart, oh, we need to stop here. Yes, we do. The Moon River bit again. So, bam, second encore, Moon River.
Bam, second encore.
Robbie, what is your answer?
That's it. Back to Winnipeg. I have to, Matt. I have to be.
It's the same for me. It's so perfect.
It's
not to mention you learn that Winnipeg is a city, which a lot of Americans probably didn't know at that time.
If you're a hockey fan, you know about Winnipeg.
Well, yeah, but like I said, Americans didn't know
about
that.
And the joke that they have no airport. There's a joke online in hockey circles about Winnipeg is such a small town that it doesn't have an airport, even though it does have an airport. Every time I go on a road trip, all right, back to, as someone gets upset, regardless of the severity of it, all right, back to Winnipeg. The real problem, Matt, is when I make that reference in a car with a bunch of people who don't know The Simpsons very well.
Oh, they're like, why are you talking about Winnipeg?
What are you talking about, Robbie? What's wrong with you? Next week's question, what's your favorite Simpsons quote about food? There's a lot of good ones out there. A lot of The Simpsons talk about food a lot. Homer helps, but it's not just Homer.
Yeah.
I might already have my quote, man.
Ooh,
I might already have it. There's one. I guarantee some other people will also choose it. I'll post this question on our Patreon, patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. Post publicly. It means anybody who follows us, not just supports us, should be able to answer on there. I'll post this on our subreddit, which is r/TheSimpsonsShow. Links in the show notes for that as well. Subscribe and post stuff. I generally just post the listener questions, but you can post whatever you want, Simpsons related. And you can also email us, SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. It's that time again, Matt. The time we do every week. It is that time for the new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge, where Matt and I each challenge each other with 3 trivia questions, 1 easy, 1 medium, and 1 hard, and try and stump the other. I have a 5-point lead on Matt with, let me look, 1, 2, 3 episodes to go.
It's going to be tough to come back. Maybe this will be the week.
No. I'm smart. I'm a smart boy. Are you ready for an easy question, Matt?
I suppose.
In Bart versus Lisa versus the third grade, their third grade class field trip goes where?
I believe that goes to Capital City.
You're correct.
All right. Your easy question. Who is the alien in the Springfield Files?
Montgomery Burns.
You are correct, sir.
I bring you love. He brings Capital City. He brings us love. Kill it. Your medium question, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of Bart and Lisa's third grade teacher?
Oh, gosh. I know this one.
I don't like the idea of that. How about you don't?
Oh, it's Miss. He cries about permission slips. Yeah, I can't remember. It's something easy.
I wouldn't call it easy. Yeah, I would call it medium. It is Audrey McConnell is her name.
McConnell. I can remember Audrey, but McConnell is the part for some reason. I don't think they ever say that.
Do they?
I remember Skinner calling her Audrey, but I'm just like,
I looked up the episode. I found the episode on Freak Yak first, and then I looked it up on Wikipedia, and the Wikipedia has her name all over it. So I did not closely examine if they say her name in the episode. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, your medium question. In the Springfield Files, we see Milhouse playing a game at the arcade. What is this game, and how much does it cost in quarters?
He's playing Waterworld, the arcade game, and it costs $40 in quarters.
Oh, I'm sorry, Robbie. You're so close. It is 40 quarters. So it actually only costs $10 per
40
play.
40 quarters. Not, I've always thought of it as $40 in quarters, not 40 quarters. But think about that. That's like 40 quarters, though, in 1998, 99, 97?
Yeah, 96, 97, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's so many more. To be fair, I know there was a day, I distinctly remember spending over $5 to beat the X-Men arcade game in quarters.
Wow, yeah, I remember that.
We kept going to my mom. I need more money, mom. As the time is time is like counting down, and I'm running over to her. Mom, I need quarters. I need money. So I definitely spent more than $5 X-Men arcade game is fun though. That's the difference between that and that Waterworld game. Your hard question, Matt. What book is Lisa reading on the way to Capital City?
Oh, gosh. I know so little about this episode, Robbie. Why couldn't you have given me an episode about the what their state bird and state pasta is? Jeez. I have no idea. I know that for some reason, but I don't know this.
I looked up Spy, Matt. I looked up Spy on Freaky Egg.
You got Spy Magazine, of course.
I got Spy Magazine. So the book Lisa's reading, this is actually a pretty clever little sight gag. The book is called Love in the Time of Coloring Books.
Instead of cholera. Yeah, I get it.
It's not bad. That's not a bad sight gag. It's more clever than anything in this episode. That's season 14. So we've fallen even further in God's eyes.
Yes, we have.
What's my hard question, man?
Your hard question. According to Junior Skeptic Magazine, what are the odds of another form of life coming into contact with ours?
Okay, my first question for you, Matt, is did you know this answer without looking it up?
I did, but yeah, I know a lot about this episode that I shouldn't.
No, I'm not as big a fan of the Springfield Files as most people. It's fine. It's fun, but it's not one of my favorites. I guess it is one of my favorites now because it's so much better It's so much better than anything we've watched in a long time. But back in the day, it was always, of all the Simpsons, the golden years, I was like, it's fine. Not one of my favorites. I would say it's 1 in 50 million.
It's 175 million to 1.
Okay, 175 million to 1.
You're only off by 125 million.
When you get numbers that big, Matt, it kind of doesn't, I know that it's a big gap, right, between 50 and 175 million. But when you're already discussing, you're talking about millions and millions, you're not, that probability doesn't feel real to humans because it's too big. Pick too big a number. I can think of 5 to 1. That's easy. I can, 5 is my number of fingers, right? So, okay. We still have a 5-point gap between me and Matt.
I really thought I could make something up, but you had to go Bart versus Lisa versus the third grade.
I mean, Matt, I have to, I think I've said this. I have to be mean to win. That's what it takes. I can't be a nice person. I can't go like, that's fun. Sometimes I would, what happened in all the seasons where I go, I'm going to think of some fun questions. You know what happens? You get them right.
Yeah.
And you beat me by 20 points.
I mean, I almost got you this week. You almost got me this week with the Waterworld. You knew Waterworld. I'm impressed with that, honestly.
I remember Waterworld. I just transposed the numbers, so it's 40 quarters, not $40, not 40 quarters. I got the number right. Just the multiplier is wrong, but that's fine. I still have my 5 points. We have 2 more episodes to go in this season. I just have to stay strong, and I can do it. Repeat my first repeat, Matt. My first repeat.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. I'm not. This is not on deck. I don't want to jinx myself. We can move on to our final segment. Segment we end every single episode with. It's time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the part where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically, you watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever, and how good they are. Okay. I feel like this is in, like, probably the 370s.
I was looking at that, because the season 23 that would be below that would be The Falcon and the Dough Man, and as dumb as this episode is, I would much rather watch it than that. So this will be the seventh highest in season 23. So.
Man, we've been really hard on season 20. I mean, it's been terrible, to be fair.
And we've got four great women and a manicure. I hate to say it, but this is probably better than that. At the top of the 370s, we've got Jazzy and the Pussycats, which at least that has, you know, musical stuff in it.
At least it has musical. Simpsons Christmas Stories, Matt.
Oh, that one's really boring and stupid.
Which Christmas Stories one is that? I don't see. That's the thing. Like, which? I forget. Like, I know obviously it's Simpsons Christmas Stories, but which one is it? First Stow Out. I saw Grandpa cussing Santa Claus. Oh, that's where World War II.
Grandpa's on a island. Yeah.
Oh no. I think that's better than this.
You're probably right. The problem is I don't. Between Four Great Women and Manicure and Christmas Stories, I don't know what any of these are. Fat Man and Little Boy.
Fat Man and Little Boy, I believe, is the one where Bart gets famous making T-shirts, and Homer has a nuclear reactor in the basement.
Oh yeah, that's right. Why does he have it in the basement again?
Don't remember. That's with I think that's it. With we get Goose Gladwell in that one. And we have Homer.
Oh, apparently that is the name of an actual movie.
What is? Fat Man and Little Boy?
Fat Man and Little Boy. Yeah,
well, yeah, it's about the name of the nuclear bomb. It's about the A-bombs.
I knew that. I just didn't realize there was something else that they actually used to appropriate.
I mean, the name's fine. It doesn't tell you anything about what the episode actually is about. I think the episode... we're at a point, Matt. This is where we're at, okay? This is how far we've fallen into darkness, where I go, you know, maybe Goose Gladwell is better than this. Maybe I would enjoy Goose. I don't remember, because I'm not going to voluntarily watch Fat Man and Little Boy again. But no. The stupidity of Goose Gladwell makes me go, oh, well, at least it's something. It makes me feel a thing that's not just frustration. So there's Sex Pies and Idiot Scrapes, right? But I think that I'd rather. So there's Sex Pies and Idiot Scrapes. Which one is that?
Where Homer and Flanders become bounty hunters.
This is better. Okay, we found it, Matt. We found it. Like, I have this visceral, I have a visceral reaction right there in the middle where I'm like, okay, no, this is better than that. So I have a spot for this. That's where I would put this, right below those two. Does that feel okay? Is that all right with you?
Works perfectly for me.
Perfectly. We found Matt goes, I don't want to talk about this anymore. You're right.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I feel like at a certain point, Matt, you just have to trust your gut. And my gut, when you said the words, oh, it's an episode where Homer and Flanders become bounty hunters. I'm like, oh, okay. No, you're right. This is better. I'd rather watch this again. So that is a new number 376 on our list, on our words. Robbie, come on, buddy. You can do it. We're almost done. It is a number 184 on the post-Golden Years ranking, which is not great, but it's 100 from the bottom. I'll say that. And even in the post-Golden Years ranking. So it says something about the quality of the post-Golden Years. Is right below Fat Man and Little Boy, right above Sex Pies and Idiot Scrapes. First on the list is still Homer's Enemy. Last place is still Codependence Day.
Yeah.
What a bad episode. We're not done yet, though, Matt. We have one more thing to do. One more question. Answering that question is, do we shoot this episode out of the cannon?
The cannon! The cannon! The cannon! The cannon!
Yay! I can't think of a thing. There's just nothing.
There's no reason.
There's no reason. There's nothing in this that we need to save, that we need to discuss. You don't need to watch this episode. Please fire the cannon. Goodbye. Goodbye, the spy who learned me. We can ask the same question about another episode on our list as we work our way down from the top until we have every single episode categorized. We are number 181 right now, Matt. That is Mayored to the Mob. Use the forks. The forks.
Ooh, that is a...
It's fun. That's a fun episode. It's fun.
It is a fun episode.
That's what it is, Matt. It's fun. It's very silly. It's very absurd. It has no character development whatsoever in it, really. But we get Mark Hamill having fun. We get Homer having fun. And that's... It's the better of the Scully years. That's what we get, right? It's fun, absurdist. It's funny. You can watch Mary the Mob, you'll laugh at it. It's enjoyable.
That's true. That's true. It's got Mark Hamill, and nothing with Mark Hamill is ever that bad.
There's a little new movie called Star Wars. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Just a huge stinker. Just terrible. I don't know.
Really? How. Just a huge stinker, huh?
No, that's a terrible movie. No, that's not true. There are bad movies Mark Hamill's in, though.
I'm sure. The
Village of the Damned remake, he's in it. It's maybe my least favorite John Carpenter movie that's not called Ghost of Mars.
Okay.
Village of the Damned is fine. It's fine. It's just a remake. It's not a very good one. It's kind of boring. But Mark Hamill's in it and Christopher Reeve's in it. That's a little known. Luke Skywalker and Superman, both in the same movie. This is right before Christopher Reeve had his accident. But he's also not that good in the movie. So, what are we talking about? Mayor to the Mob. It belongs. Yes, we don't fire the cannon, but we are getting to that point now where you start to wonder, right? You go, you had to think, Mayor to the Mob. Yeah, I guess it stays. It's worth it. It's fun. It's fun. It's jokes. But we're getting to the point. We're going to get to an episode at some point where we go, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm sure it's down there somewhere.
In a couple seasons, we'll get there. We're going to get to like some of the like Pokemon. What about Realty Bites? Does that?
Oh, yeah.
There's some of these where you're like, Faith Off? I don't know. We'll get there.
Ooh, Faith Off, yeah.
There, it becomes a question, right? It's not immediately yes or immediately no. And you're like, I wonder. That'll do it for us. Our next episode, Matt, is Ned and Nenda's Blend Agenda.
Ooh, this could be good or could be terrible. I guess we'll see.
Ned reveals that he and Edna are married, and they begin to argue when Ned disapproves of Edna changing Rod and Todd's fashion. We get the return of Chaz Busby in this episode.
Oh, Matt. Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see. Ned and Edna episode. I'm hopeful, but I don't think it'll... I can't expect it to be good, because that's what I expected this week, and I didn't get it. You can find this list on our website. TheSimpsonsShow.com has links to all the stuff. I'm online. Robbie Dorman. It's my name. Everywhere on social media, RobbieDorman.com is my website. That's Dorman with 1-0. For all you keeping track at home. I have a new book coming out in 1 week time. It's called This Book is Cursed. If you haven't pre-ordered, you still have time. You can have it in your hands on release day. Wherever you buy your books, Amazon, obviously, or Barnes & Noble, or wherever you want to pre-order it, you can do that. It helps me out a lot. Early pre-orders, early reviews are a big benefit. If you haven't given me a shot yet, this is the perfect chance. If you have nostalgia for Choose Your Own Adventure novels from when you were a kid, this book is about a cursed Choose Your Own Adventure novel that kills you if you follow the wrong path. Does that sound awesome? Good, because it is. You should go pre-order right now. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That is true. I spend all of my time taking care of itty-bitty little kittens, and just today I took delivery from the kitten delivery person of a brand new batch of the cutest little kittens who still don't even have their eyes open. So if you would like to see these kittens as they grow, you can check out Kitten Turns, KITTINTERNS on Instagram or at kittenturns.org.
Sounds like a pretty good idea to me.
I mean, if you enjoy kittens and think they're incredibly cute, even when they kind of look like rats, well, there you go.
That'll do it. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And you watch this episode.